Well, welcome to the final week, the last week of our three-week message series we're calling Rise Above. There are times when we all face challenges from negative desires, attitudes, and behaviors that can hold us back and keep us from reaching our highest potential. God wants us to move ahead to new levels of greater joy and fulfillment in our lives, but these negative inclinations can rob us of our joy and freedom, prevent us from becoming our best selves. And so in this series, we've been looking at how to rise above these obstacles. Last week, we talked about rising above anger. The week before, rising above greed. Today, I want to talk with you about rise above pride. We all face situations that can tempt us to act in prideful ways, think prideful thoughts, compare ourselves to others with a kind of arrogant superiority. Maybe you got into a disagreement with a friend of yours. Keep insisting that you're right because you're sure that you know better. Or maybe you find yourself criticizing your spouse, your kids, your employees, other people, because they're not doing things the way you think they should be done. And the way you think they should be done, of course, is the correct way. Or perhaps you have a hard time taking advice or listening to constructive feedback. There's some people who even think they're the smartest person in the room, more knowledgeable than the teacher, their boss, more competent than others. These are all examples, signs of pride. And it's hard to admit, but pride can creep into our lives without us even realizing it. And perhaps more than any other negative quality, pride is the one that can hold us back the most. Jesus said in the gospel reading, "A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. If you want to produce good fruit in your life, become all you were created to be, reach your highest potential, live a truly happy, satisfying, and successful life, you have to have deep roots like a good tree." And part of that, a big part of that, I think, means putting down our pride, rising above it, and growing in humility. Over Christmas this last year, I went to a holiday party at a friend's house. I go every year. It's always a good time, great atmosphere, wonderful people, good food. Everything's great. This year, the hosts had invited someone new. I'd never met him before. He seemed like a nice gentleman. We got to talking, and he asked me what I did for a living. I said, "I'm a Catholic priest." And for some reason, he wanted to know when priests could retire. I said, "The minimum age is typically 70. And then he looked at me with a straight face and said, "Oh, so you just decided to stay on?" It was all I could do to contain myself. I said, "Actually, I'm nowhere near 70. Well, he got really red in the face, embarrassed, said, "I'm so sorry," kept apologizing. And then he made a critical error. He tried to backpedal. You know, you've ever done that? You know, try to undo what you did. And he says, I'm so sorry. I guess it was just all that gray hair you have." Now I was fuming. I'm like, I wanted to say, "Look, dude, this is white blonde. It's not gray, okay? There's a difference, white blonde." But I didn't say anything. I smiled, politely excused myself from the conversation. Well, 10 days later, I was at a priest conference in Anaheim, Orange County, and a bunch of priests from all over the world, didn't know a lot of them, most of them, and at one of the lunches, I was sitting next to a younger priest. He was probably in his late 20s. We got to talking, and out of the blue, he asked me how I was liking retirement. Did I enjoy it? I thought, "God, not again. How can this keep happening?" Oh, but you know, when God wants to send you a message, sometimes he won't just send one painful lesson. He'll send several just to make sure you get the point. But in my case, it came in threes. Because a couple of weeks later, I was having dinner with a wonderful family from this parish. And we were talking. I told them this story, and everybody laughed, thought it was so funny. And then his 20-year-old daughter leaned across the table and with the best of intentions said, "Father Roger, that's crazy you don't look a day over 65. I wanted to scream, I'm only 59 years old." But she was so sweet, trying to help, meant well, so I just kept silent. But clearly God wanted me to work on my pride, Only I didn't, because for weeks after that, I kept thinking, why does everybody think I look older than I am? I kept ruminating on it, I was preoccupied by it, Googled Botox treatments, how much they would cost, looked at exfoliating for younger looking skin, even asked my barber if he would dye my hair. Answer, no. Not my finest moment. But this is what pride can do to us. It can make us focus only on ourselves and what we think and what we need and how we're feeling. I heard a speaker recently say that teenagers these days, and this is hard to believe, but this is what she said, the teenagers these days post on a social media platform called Snapchat, on average, 200 pictures of themselves every day. She said it's like looking in the mirror 200 times every day. But see, this is what pride can do to us. It can actually have the opposite effect. It can make us feel isolated, alone, and insecure because we're always trying to compare ourselves to others, convince ourselves we're more superior, better, more perfect than other people, and it's just not true. And that can lead us into feeling arrogant and self-involved and even build up resentment inside of us. Pride can keep us from serving other people like God wants us to, and even prevent us from feeling compassion for people who are suffering. With pride, it's easy to develop an overinflated sense of your own self-importance, your own abilities, and then we become like these obnoxious braggarts and show-offs, and nobody wants that. Nothing good comes from pridefulness. But perhaps the worst effect of pride, I think, is a critical spirit. A critical spirit. When we take on a judgmental attitude toward other people. One of my friends recently told me, well, actually, it wasn't so recent, it was years ago, but he told me that I had a blind spot the size of Texas. I said, I don't see it. He said, that's the point. It's a blind spot. You can't see it. It's your blind spot. Well, this is what Jesus was warning his disciples about in the gospel reading today. He was telling them that pride could make them blind. He said, why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove that splinter from your eye, but you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. See, when we only see the imperfections in other people and not in ourselves, Jesus says we can become like the blind trying to lead the blind. But if you want to really lead people, be someone that others look up to, the kind of person people want to be around, your children, your grandchildren, your friends, you have to put aside a critical spirit and put down your pride. Scripture says a man's pride will bring him low, but he who has a lowly spirit will obtain honor. You will have far greater influence, create a much bigger impact, make many more friends, be catapulted ahead in your business, work, and profession, and enjoy healthier relationships when you're able to rise above pride. In the scripture, there was a man named Nabal. He was very wealthy, and he loved to hold banquets like a king. He would feast on the best foods and the finest wines. But Nabal was mean-spirited. He was prideful in every way. In fact, his name literally in Hebrew meant fool. Now, King David, you probably remember this story, King David and his men were camped in the wilderness near Nabal's farm. They were on the run from King Saul, who wanted to kill David. And to survive, David and his men would offer protection to shepherds and farmers like Nabal from thieves who would come in and plunder their crops and steal their livestock. It would offer protection, and in return, the locals would give them some of their provisions. So, when it came sheep shearing time, David sent 10 of his men to Nabal to ask politely, very politely, for whatever he could spare. But instead of being grateful for the protection that they had offered, Nabal insulted the men, turned them down flat, said he would never give a handout to a bunch of freeloaders and runaway slaves. Now, when David heard about this, he became furious. He mounted up on his horse with 400 of his men behind him and was going to take revenge. His plan was to wipe out Nabal and every man on his farm. But as they were thundering down the path to Nabal's farm, there in the middle of the trail stood a woman. They came screeching to a halt. That woman was Nabal's wife, Abigail. Scripture says she was both beautiful and intelligent, which is obvious because she came loaded for bear, with enough food, wine, and freshly baked bread to feed an army, literally. She apologized to David for Nabal's behavior, said he was a fool, just like his name meant. Then she gave David all of the provisions, talked him down off the ledge, convinced him to turn around and go back home. If it had not been for Abigail, David would have made the same mistake as Nabal. He would have allowed his wounded pride to get the better of him, taken vengeance into his own hands instead of leaving it up to God. It was because of Abigail's humility that David was saved. But Nabal was not, because 10 days later, Nabal died suddenly. And you guessed it, David took Abigail as his wife. Scripture says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I hate to admit this, but you know, I'm very honest in my homilies. One of the things I struggle with is jealousy, particularly jealousy of other priests. In fact, if you want to get under my skin, watch me get hot under the collar, see steam coming out from my ears, just tell me about Father so-and-so down there at St. Elsewhere in the city, how wonderful he is, how smart he is. His homilies are only 5 minutes long, but they're so impactful, so profound, so life-changing. Try it sometime. It might be fun to watch my reaction. But there's been one priest in particular that I've always been very jealous of. He has millions of subscribers on YouTube and on social media. And every time I heard his name, I could feel the bile rising up inside me. My pride told me that it wasn't his talent that made him so popular. It was his handsome good looks. You see, he's sort of like George Clooney meets the Catholic Church. Anyway, I couldn't stand him. And then one day, one of my friends invited me to an event, a sold-out event, of course, where this priest was the keynote speaker. Well, I made every excuse in the book, tried to get out of it however I could, avoid it like the plague. But my friend was very persistent, asked me over and over again, would not take no for an answer. So finally, I gave in and said, okay, I'd go. I dreaded it for weeks. But I actually came away from that evening with a whole new attitude, because I had to admit that his talk was really good. He was really good. And a big part, I think, of what makes him such an eloquent, engaging, relatable speaker is his obvious humility. Despite his fame, how many people love him, he was not arrogant, pretentious, pompous, prideful in the least. And then it struck me. He and I, we're both on the same team, trying to do the same work. And ever since that moment, I've not been one bit jealous of him or anybody else. If you want to rise above pride, I think here's one key. Try to remember that we're all actually on the same team together. We're all just trying to do our best, live fulfilling lives, take care of our families, find some meaning in this world, maybe even leave a lasting legacy behind. But it is pride that encourages us to play the fool like Nabal. It's pride that tempts us to be critical and jealous of others. It's pride that makes us arrogant and self-involved. It's pride that creates these blind spots that we just can't see past. And it is pride that keeps us from reaching our destiny, using our God-given talents, following God's will, and becoming all he created us to be. It's pride that holds us back. And so if you want to be free of feelings of isolation, loneliness, insecurity, if you want to be released from fear, worry, and anxiety, you want lasting peace in your family, among your friends and other relationships, if you want to reach your highest potential, my advice is you have to find a way to overcome any feelings of false superiority. Remember, we're all on the same team together. Put down your ego, love more, serve more, and rise above your pride.